headquarters of Agape House of Worship in the historic town of Roselle, New Jersey. I'm going to ask the church to please rise to your feet and let's give God a great applause. Amen. Put your hands together and give God praise. Give him praise. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Somebody shout for joy. Somebody shout for victory. Victory is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's remain standing. Let me find my glasses. Amen. Please continue praying for Pastor Jide and Pastor Bimbo and the rest of the Lowry family in this time. Amen. We just want to tell you we love you, pastors. And we're praying for you. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 27, verse 8. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Psalm 27, verse 8. Thank you, Nyjah. Sister Nyjah, thank you. She knows the mission. She understood the mission. And let's read out of the Word of God. I believe I have a word to share with you on behalf of our Heavenly Father. And the word reads as follows. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." You may have a seat in the presence of your Heavenly Father. As Pastor Uwande mentioned, my wife and I, together with Brother Javier and Sister Carol, and some others that the Lord will be bringing our way as well, are leading up the Spanish ministry that will be soon be launched here at Agape House of Worship. Amen. We started in August of last year with a Bible class. We have been faithful. We have been committed to teaching the Word of God. Since then also, we've had a Friday night Spanish outpouring. Amen. In Spanish, it was a blessed time. It was a blessed, blessed time. It was glorious. Amen. So if you know of anyone, a brother, a sister, a friend, a co-worker, someone you go to school with, they're looking for a Spanish congregation, let them know that starting September of 2024, we will be here. Amen. More information on that to come. But I tell you that for a reason. About a month ago, my wife asked me, this is my wife, Maria Yvette Berrios, my beautiful wife, the next to Jesus, the greatest gift that God has given me. Amen. Next to salvation, next to eternal life. It's right there. She asked me, she said, Hubie, what kind of pastor do you want to be? And I did not hesitate. I said, well, I want to be the kind of pastor who glorifies God at all times and enjoys him forever. And I want to teach others to do the same. That was it. That's the mission. That is my heart's desire. And if you're a pastor or not in this place, that should be the mission and desire of every believer in Christ Jesus. And as soon as I spoke those words, God dropped in my heart Psalm 27. It's a psalm that I've continuously have gone to for strength, for spiritual insight, for encouragement. But when I spoke those words to my wife, it's as if it all begins here in Psalm 27, verse 8. Allow me to read from verse 1 till verse 8 to you. And it reads as follows, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and they fell." In other words, they were conquered. They were defeated. "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." And so can you. "One thing," somebody say with me, "one thing. One thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord." "That will I seek." By the way, the title of today's message is "Seek My Face." "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord." What is the one thing that David wanted to do? What was David's one desire? What was he going to expend all of his energy, time, and effort in doing? He was going to seek the Lord for the purposes of dwelling in his house, for the purposes of inquiring in his temple, for the purpose of seeking out his face. Because he says to behold the beauty of the Lord, the entirety of the beauty of the Lord is concentrated in his face. "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." Man, I love this psalm. This psalm preaches itself. This psalm don't need a preacher. It just needs a reader. It just needs a cantor. It just needs a mouthpiece, and it will preach all by itself. He says, "He shall hide me in his pavilion." Where? In the common place, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. And what else will he do? He's not going to dig a hole to hide you. He's not going to stuff you in some cave. He said he's going to lift your head up and place you high above your enemies around you. "Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy." In the original Hebrew, it's sacrifices of shouting. Sacrifices of battle cries is the original. Sacrifices of shouts of victory. And now you may ask me, "Brother Hubie, why are you always shouting?" This is why. If you're always wondering why I'm always shouting, why I'm always lifting up my voice, it's because I have something to shout about. It's because Jesus on the cross of Calvary has given me, has given you the victory. And we have something to shout about. It's part of our praise. You need to believe and understand that today. And he says, "I will sing." He doesn't say, "I might sing." He doesn't say, "When I remember, I will sing." He doesn't say, "When I am coaxed and encouraged by the music ministry, I will sing." He is speaking to his own self. He's ministering to his inner man. And he is saying, "I will sing." I was in the army for 8 years. You want to do what infantrymen do? when they're being marched from point A to point B, they're singing. They're calling cadence. And it's one thing if it's a platoon of 100, but if it's an army of 10,000, that army of 10,000 makes the earth tremble. It makes the enemy tremble. And people of God, you understand, you have to understand today that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And whether it's just one saint or 1,000, you have the backing of heaven. And you can sing a song of victory no matter what your situation looks like, no matter how dark your night, no matter how long is the hour that you have to live through. God has given you victory, has given you a shout, and he has given you a song of praise and of glory. He says, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. He says, not only am I going to sing, but I'm going to do it with instruments. That's what it says in the original. Not only am I going to sing, but I'm going to call for the flutist and the harpist and the person who plays a violin and the person who plays a, I'm going to call for the entire orchestra. And we're going to sing a song of victory and glory and honor and tribute unto our God. Man, I have to get to this message. He says, hear my Lord when I cry with my voice. There is a sense of urgency here. There is a sense of urgency in his cry. There is a sense of urgency in his seeking. There is a sense of urgency in his pursuing of God, of his presence, of the face of God. There is a sense of urgency. When was the last time that there was a sense of urgency in your pursuit of God? In your seeking of God's face? There has to be a sense of urgency in our devotion to God, in our prayer life, in our praise and worship unto God. In our seeking of his face, there has to be a sense of urgency in these days that we're living in. Jesus is around the corner. We're about to hear the trumpet blast. There's yet work to be done here on earth. And the church needs a sense of urgency to be stirred up in their lives. To do the work that he has called us to do. Have mercy upon me. And answer me. That means respond, God, respond. When you said, and this is where we're going to be preaching out of. When you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Amen. Allow me to read verse 8 the way God put it in my heart. When God, the Lord, when Jehovah, the self-existent one, said to my heart, seek my face. I responded in the affirmative. I responded with a sense of urgency. I responded with focus and intensity. And I replied, your face, Lord, I will seek. Not only did I reply with my words, but I replied by taking action. I got up out of my seat. I got up out of my place. I left my comfort zone and I made your face my focus. I made your face, the seeking of your face, my main motivation. I made the seeking of your face the purpose in my life. Here's some parallel verses. Can somebody give me a bottle of water, please, if you don't mind? Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, he who seeks God's face, must believe that he is what? That he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. That's the word of God. That's not the promise of a preacher. That's not the promise of a teacher. God says if you seek my face and you do it diligently, you do it purposefully, you do it intentionally, you do it energetically and positively, and you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me and I will reward you. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me. In other words, you will seek my face and you will find my face. God's face is the apex of our Christian devotion. God's face is the apex of our Christian worship. God's face is the apex of our Christian lives. Everything else pales in comparison. Nothing can substitute the face of God in the life of the Christian. Nothing can substitute the face of God in our church life, in the corporate life. The moment that we substitute the face of God with something else, we are in sin and we fall in idolatry and rebellion. And we are at odds with God. But God says, you will seek my face and you will find me when you search for me half-heartedly, with lukewarmness, only on Sundays. No, with your whole heart, with your whole life, with the entirety of your entire human existence. When you seek me in this manner, you will find me. Psalm 34:10. Young lions suffer want. In other words, they have needs. They have appetites. And they hunger. And they can go on a few days still hungry, not catching any prey for them to eat, not satisfying the hunger of their soul. But the psalmist goes on to say, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Can someone put their hands together and give God praise? I'm here to tell you today that when God tells a man or a woman to seek his face, he doesn't tell you to do that in vain. He doesn't tell you to seek his face so that when you are there, about to gaze upon his beauty, about to gaze upon his glory, that he would turn his face on you. Man will always do that. They're quick to renege on their promises. They're quick to take their promises back, their gifts back. But not God. Not God. God is a promise keeper. And if he says and he calls you to seek his face, it's because you will be found by him. And in his face, you will experience your greatest joy, your greatest transformation. Psalm 10:4, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek God. Conversely, listen to how the Bible defines the righteous and the wicked. It all hinges on God's face. It all hinges on what you do with God's face. Thank you. Listen to how God defines the righteous and the wicked. The righteous seek God's face, not the wicked. The believer wholeheartedly seeks God's face, makes it his aim, his life's purpose to seek God's face, not the wicked. You want to know who is saved or not? What are you doing with God's face? How much time do you dedicate to his face? How much time do you dedicate to seek his face in prayer? How much time do you dedicate to seek his face in silence and in solitude? How much time do you dedicate to seek his face in fasting and praying? How much time do you dedicate to seek his face in praise and worship, in Christian service? How much time do you dedicate to seek God's face by way of Bible intake? Whether it's reading the word, meditating upon the word, studying the word, memorizing the word, ingesting the word, eating the word, drinking the word, teaching the word, preaching the word. How much time is invested in seeking God's face, in seeking God's glory? Sad to say that there are many people in the church who are not saved, and they're going to spend their life in church, their human existence in church, but because they did not seek God's face in all of their ways, God will reject them. Psalm 10:4 says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek God. He doesn't do it. He doesn't want to do it. He hates it. He can't stand it. It gets on his nerves. What? Church for three, four? What? No way. I can't go. I need to find me a church that, well, I'm in and out of there in a half hour. Yeah, because there's sports today. There's football today. There's baseball today. There's soccer today. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that. You're seeking every other face there is to be sought except for the face of God. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you have a Bible under your arm. It doesn't matter if you look like a Christian. It doesn't matter what church you go to. What matters to God is what you're doing with my face. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek God. In all of his thoughts, there is no room for God. There's room for everything else. There's room for advancing. There's room for prosperity. There's room for so many other things that this world has to offer. In a very real and biblical sense, to turn one's face from God is sin. It's the most egregious sin. And in a very real and biblical sense, when you recognize your sin, when you recognize your waywardness, when you recognize how far you've drifted from God's face and from God's presence, to turn your face means to repent, to return. It means to abandon the other faces that the world presents to you, to seek the one that really matters. So many times the nation of Israel, having God's face shine upon them, rejected the countenance of God upon their life and upon their nation, and went after the foreign gods of the nations around them. So many times. And God will lift up prophet after prophet with one message, Brother Emmanuel. One message. And the message is clear. And the message is biblical. And the message was heaven sent. And it is the word return. He would say, return, backslidden Israel. Return, house of Judah. Return to your original place of seeking my face in the tabernacle, in the temple. And that is the call that God is making to many believers in the day of today. God is telling them simply, return. And if you would hearken unto the voice of the Lord today, because today is the day of salvation for you. If you would turn your face away from the other gods that you serve and turn your face to the one and only true God, He will succor you. He will draw near to you. He would lift you up upon His arms and press you into His bosom and save your life. He will do it. Because in humility and in brokenness, you did a 180 degree turn from the face of the world. And you turn your face back to God. To seek Him. To love Him. To glorify Him. To be with Him. To minister to Him. To serve Him. To inquire in His temple. To desire to be hidden in the secret place of His tabernacle. Ah, the greatest blessing that we can receive is our salvation, is this born again life, is to have our inner man regenerated by the Spirit of God. It's the greatest blessing, because the privilege of the born again life, of the born again experience, is nothing less and nothing more than the face of God. Psalm 27 was authored by King David, and it is found in the groupings of Psalms known as the Psalms of Distress. War, crisis, and chaos in David's life served as a press to extract spiritual truths regarding the high value of intimacy with God and how to obtain it. I'm here to tell you that problems have a way. Difficulties of this world, the problems of this world, that Paul says are not worthy to be compared with the glory that we shall receive, have a way of pressing us. And in that press, we are put in a place where we have no choice but to seek God's face. And when we seek God's face during those times of pressing and difficulty, and chaos and crisis, God has a beautiful way of revealing to us spiritual truths that will not only encourage us, but enable us and equip us and give us the divine power and anointing that can only be found in the face of God to continue our race down here on earth. But whether you are going through bad times or good, the principles here found in this verse will bless you. There are three main characters in Psalm 27 verse 8. Number one, Jehovah, aka the Lord, aka the great I am, aka the self-existent one, God. He's the first one. He's the object of our devotion. He's the object of our seeking. He's the object of our hot, aggressive pursuit. He's the object. The second character you will find in this verse is King David. King David is an Old Testament believer. He's an Old Testament believer in Jehovah. And according to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, he has the distinguished honor of being called a man after God's own heart. Wow. What an honor. And we know what David did. We know what David was about. We know that he was a man of war with blood on his hands, a murderer, an adulterer. He probably wasn't the best of fathers. We know David. We know. But God said he was a man after his own heart. He was a spiritual man. He kept the main thing in his life. The main thing is pursuing God's face through prayer, through praise and worship. The third character that I want you to see in this verse, by way of extension of God's word, is you and me. Is you and me. Is you and me. It is important to see these three people in this verse. It is important to see God, who is the object of our seeking. It is important to see David, because David now becomes a teacher who is about to tell us the who, the what, the where, and the why of why we must seek God's face. And we have to see us in this verse, because here God makes an invitation to David's heart to seek his face. And I'm here to tell you today, Agape House of Worship, family of churches, whether you're here or watching online, this invitation to seek God's face was not just for David. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, if you have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, if you are a lover of his word, by extension of this word, God's invitation to seek his face is also for you. It's not just for David. It's not just for the elite. Is not just for the pastors, is not just for the evangelists, is not just for the teachers and the prophets and the apostles. This invitation to seek God's face is for you and it is for me. And I believe that one of the reasons, or two of the reasons why it's for you and for me, is because we are also called to seek God's face and to inquire in his temple, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. But brothers and sisters, please listen to me, especially those who are falling asleep right now. I can see you. I know I can see you each and every one. I wish there was a camera that was pointing this way. And we would call that camera, what, the sleepy camera. You know, tell the neighbor, tell the person next to you, wake up. We're talking about things that have to do with life and death. Amen. Stir them up a little bit. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Shake them, shake them. You have my permission. You have my permission to shake them up, to stir them up. Amen. If they have a problem with that, they can come see me after the service. And I'll just call Pastor Patrick and Pastor G and we'll just pray for you, to give you the spirit of attentiveness. You know, I had an argument with my wife the other day, believe it or not. And I think I won. I don't know if I won or not. My wife said, no, you know, what happens is you can't preach for more than 45 minutes because people's attention span, you lose them after 30. You don't want to know what I told my wife. Can I tell them? Listen. We're amongst family, right? You love me, right? Agape, I love you too. And I want the best for you. The best for you is in God's face. The best for you is in God's face. And this is why I'm going to be honest with you. Can I just be brutally honest? I told my wife, I say, the believers don't have an attention span problem. Praise them. There's a heart problem. There's a heart problem. If the preacher goes over 45 minutes and you're already huffing and puffing at 35, it's not the preacher's fault. It's your fault. Anyway, that was for free. That wasn't even part of the message. Seek his face is his message. Let's look at the invitation real quick. I have a few minutes. It is an invitation that is initiated by God. God initiates the invite. He's the one that extends the invite. God is the one who first reaches out to David. God is the one who first calls out to David. This is God seeking David's face first for the glory of his name. And so that David could enjoy God forever. How many believe that there is a fullness of joy in the presence of God? I'm here to tell you that the Hebrew word for face is panim. And that word panim in the Hebrew is used interchangeably for face and for presence. Because to have someone's face is to have their presence. It makes sense. It makes sense. A person's face conveys their personhood. A person's face conveys their presence. I could not be here today present with you and my face still in my house in Roselle Park, New Jersey. It doesn't work like that. Wherever my face, my body goes, so goes my face. The same with God. The same with God. This is God seeking David's face first for the glory of his name and so that David could enjoy it forever. This is the believer's greatest honor and privilege. Somebody say, seeking God's face and to receive this invitation to seek God's face is my greatest honor and privilege. Go ahead, say, minister to yourself. Not only is it our greatest honor and privilege, it is our greatest duty and responsibility. Oh boy, nobody likes those two words, duty and responsibility. Amen. But now you have a duty. Now you have a responsibility that you're born again. And that duty and responsibility lies in the face of God. And now you have to seek it. Now you got to do something with it. You either neglect it or you pursue it. There is great power in both. If you neglect to seek God's face, there's great power in that. But the power is not a positive power. It's a double negative. It's a power for destruction. It's a power to your own demise. It's a power that works against you to frustrate you, to impede you, to blockade you, to weaken you. Have you felt a little weak lately in your relationship with Christ? Stop turning your face away from him and begin to turn your face towards him and be strengthened by the Lord. There is strength in his face. There is vigor in his face. There is power in his face. There is anointing in his face. There is conviction of your beliefs in his face. There is joy. There is peace beyond all understanding in his face. To seek God is not an option. It's a command. You don't have a choice. You have to do it if you're a blood-bought, redeemed believer in Christ Jesus. God has commanded us to seek him, and he has promised to be found by those who seek him diligently. And as I mentioned before, the invite is not in vain. If God told you to seek his face, it's because he's going to be found. He's going to let you find him. He's going to bless you. He's going to invigorate you. He's going to restore you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to revive you and God. He's going to make all of your ways prosperous. Amen. Everyone's looking for prosperity in the world. The greatest prosperity that the Christian can obtain in this earth realm is in God's face. It's in God's face. God's will is wrapped up in this invitation. And this invitation, listen up, Sister Tokes, listen up. You listening? I want you to tell all of the prayer warriors, this invitation to seek God's face should come with a warning label. You know, like medication and prescription drugs come with a warning label. Cigarettes come with a warning label. Some of these warnings really trip me out. Beware if you take whatever. It may cause stomach ulcers. It may cause seizures. It may cause severe baldness. It may cause high blood pressure. Amen. It may cause unnatural early death. Really, I don't want it then. Don't give it to me. Amen. But God's invitation to seek his face should come with a warning label, and it does. Prophet upon prophet has been raised up in the Old Testament to do exactly that, to warn the nation of Israel that if they neglect such a high calling, that if they were to neglect this invitation from God, that you don't neglect it in the vacuum. You don't neglect it without suffering any type of loss or pain or hardship or even death. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you the truth. In the last few minutes, I still need to talk about heart. I still need to talk about face. I need to talk about seeking. If the pastor allows, we can do a part two one day, because there's so much here. There's so much here. I want to end with the word seeking. There's so much to say about the word face and the word heart, but I want to end with the word seeking. The title of the message, after all, is Seek My Face, right? That is the key word, seek. The word seek is found 313 times in the Bible. Seeking is not a passive or nonchalant. It is not done haphazardly. It is not unplanned. It is not accidental or unintentional. This type of seeking requires positive, energetic action. It is intentional, purposeful. It is planned. It is deliberate. It is intentional. It means to aggressively pursue. Listen up, church. Listen up, listen up, listen up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. David could not imagine a life without God. David could not imagine a life without seeking God's face. David could not imagine a life without the presence of God in his life. So he set his heart upon seeking him. This type of seeking implies a journey of faith. Amen. A journey of faith. You don't get there overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take some pains and investments. It's going to take commitment. This seeking is the opposite of wishful thinking. This type of seeking is fueled by a desire to be up close and personal with God. How many have a desire to be up close and personal with God? Amen. You should all have a desire to be up close and personal. You should all have a desire to seek God's face. So close and personal that it ends with a climactic face-to-face encounter with God. Whew. When was the last time you had a face-to-face encounter with God? What a beauty. Oh my God. What a God. What a face. What a glory. When was the last time you had a face-to-face encounter with God? When was the last time you gazed into the face of God? Allow me to close with the words of Jesus. Jesus himself says in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. It's a promise. You can take it to the bank. It's a promise. And to the one who knocks, it shall be open. I'm going to take it to the last second. Seeking and seeing God's face should be an integral part of our walk with the Lord, because humans were created to live in close relation to him and in dependence upon him. Seeking God's face is not just for the gifted. So how is your seeking of God's face? Is it lukewarm? Do you leave it to chance? Is it weak? in the last few seconds here, let's recommit our lives to the seeking of God's face. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. And if you've been neglecting God's face, if you've been ignoring the invite, you need to repent right now. Just repent. Ask God for forgiveness. And say, God, your son, your daughter returns today. I return today. I turn my face away from the things of this world and I turn back to you to seek you, to inquire in your temple, to gaze upon the beauty of your tabernacle, in your tabernacle. Come on, come on, pray, pray, pray. There should be a slight hush of prayer in this place. There should be a murmuring of prayer, of heartfelt repentance, of heartfelt returning to the face of God. Come on, come on, come on, come on. This is not just for the elite. This is not just for the ministers. There is salvation in his face. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.